Christ Light Church. Today is Sermon Days, Living Prophetically.
Amen. How many of us are ready to receive this morning? Couple of things, you know. Just look at our PowerPoint slide. You know, welcome to First Light Church. And as a church, we want to be a community that brings healings to life. In this church, we believe in healing. We don't just believe God heals some, God don't heal others. We believe God heals everybody. The first healing He brings us is the healing of the relationship with God, because the Bible says we were enemies in our minds towards God. God never treated any one of us as enemies. But somehow, somewhere along the way, because of sin, because of satanic influence, we think God hates us, especially when things don't go right in life. But we thank be to God for the gospel. Paul tells us we were enemies in our minds towards God, but God never treated you and I as enemies. He always saw us as worthy. He saw us as persons of value. He calls us sons and daughters. And so when we are saved, we are saved to a relationship of knowing the Father's love. Amen? There's only one good thing about Christian life, is always to know the Father's love all the time. Because perfect love casts out all fears. Come on, let's be honest. All of us have fears, isn't it? But shouldn't our fear get lesser and lesser, or completely be set free from all our fears because of the perfect love of the Father? And this is what we believe, and God is calling us to make disciples, and so to multiply across nations. This is a great call of God for us as a church in this house. And what's important is that also, you know, for the past few weeks, I talked about the important able to receive. Now, God wants us to increase the capacity to receive. The more we are able to receive, the more restful we become. How many of you need rest? Okay, you can practice rest right now, but don't sleep. If you need to sleep, don't snore. You disturb your neighbor, right? But what's important is we're not here to sleep. We're not here but we are here to receive the very word of God. And this morning, I want to talk about living prophetically. Actually, my title was pretty long. The power of living prophetically brings hope and a future. I said, never mind, just use living prophetically, right? The power of living prophetically brings a hope and a future. This is the long version, the extended version of my sermon title. But this morning, we just want to just look at these two words, living prophetically. Well, what do we mean by living prophetically? I've been saying it for the past few weeks as well. To live prophetically, or prophetically, is able to live a life of intercession. Remember I said that? And intercession is what we say, saying back to God what He has said through His scripture and spirit. Intercession is not coming to God with a shopping list, telling God all your wants and needs. But you come before God when you pray, you are saying back to God what He has revealed to you from His scripture, what He has spoken to you in your spirit. Amen? So when you are praying, you're not telling God what to do. But rather when you're interceding, and I'm telling you guys, this is important, is that sometimes it's important to come to God and tell and ask God, what do you want me to pray? Instead of just telling God everything, which is good. Right? It's good to tell God everything, but I think once in a while you ask God for a prayer assignment. Lord, what do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray over this issue? So when people come to me about a certain problem, or me myself going through a certain kind of struggle, I don't just pray, Lord, you know I'm struggling, but rather, Lord, how do you want me to pray over this struggle? How do you want me to pray over this situation? Then my mind begins to go back to the Word of God. Go back to what His word has said, what I have in Christ, who am I in Christ, my identity, my purpose, my destiny. Everything about me is about in Christ. So when my mind understood who I am in Christ, then when I pray, do you not believe there's bonus? Do you not believe faith will just increase because you are praying according to what God has said to you already? So you're not struggling to get a result. You're not struggling to get something. Prayer is no longer a struggle, but prayer becomes a place in which you know the Father is going to manifest His love. You know, is that many times we think prayer is like a battlefield. You and I had to go to war to get something. But the more I understand, prayer is knowing who you are in Christ. It's just like when a lawyer goes to court, when a lawyer goes and present a case, the lawyer goes knowing certain rules, certain laws, certain precedent. So when he presents the case before a judge, he says, according to this precedent, according to this stipulation, according to this regulation, according to this law that was passed 50 years ago, this is how I'm going to fight my case. I thank be to God that if we know what God wants us to pray, and we pray according to His revelation, do you not believe He'll answer us? He will. He will. And I will talk more about this. And I want to go to this verse. From this Psalm 110, Okay, your Bible can turn with me. Now, last week I talked about the first two Psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Okay, the first Psalm and second Psalm are all connected. Right? Blessed is the man, you know, who does not sit in the seats of scoffers, but he is like a tree meditating on God's word. I tell you, that is a messianic psalm. That is a picture of Jesus Christ. That is how Jesus Christ himself, when he meditated on the word of God, his leaves did not wither. Right? He was always fruitful. Then Psalm number 2, remember how the nation rise against God, they rage against God. Remember, I talked about that. And how Peter himself quoted the second psalm when they were praying for boldness. And then God sent that spirit of boldness into the church that they were not shaken, but the place they were praying got shaken. And this is what I meant by intercession, where we are saying back to God what he has spoken to us. And when we say back to God what he has spoken to us, we're going to see a mighty move of God. So your prayer life has to increase, as I say, not in the better ground, but your prayer life is resting on the revelation of what God has said to you through the new covenant. Amen. If everything you can find, and this is what I'm going to tell you guys, if you can find it, you can have it. If you can find it, you can have it. And Psalm 110 is what we also call a messianic psalm. Here is David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He began to prophesy. He began to sing this song. And he says, "The Lord say to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies." Now, the word the Lord said, this word called Ne'um in Hebrew, and it's a very rare word. It's a very rare word. It means God speaks prophetically and directly to you. God did not use a prophet. You know, in the Old Testament, God often sent prophets to speak to the people of God. But there are moments God speaks directly to individual. And this Hebrew word Na'um is a specialized word. It's a rare word to signify here is God giving a direct revelation. Of course, today, if those of us from the charismatic camp, we will say, "Oh, I have a Rhema word from God." And you receive something from him prophetically. And here he tells you, David said, "The Lord said to my Lord," that means God was saying to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, "Sit in my right hand here, I make your enemies your footstool." Even when Jesus died for our sin, God says, "I'm going to cause a great reversal. There's going to be enemies that will be defeated by your death on the cross." The enemies are not human beings or humankind. The enemies is sin, death, and Satan. And we know sin, death, and Satan has caused all of us to be enemies in our minds towards God. So when someone died in our family, or someone else are suffering from some sicknesses, or when our life, we do not follow the way of God, we fall into what we call the consequence of our sin, or Satan waylaid us, we are lost. But God says to Jesus Christ, "I will make the enemies of sin, death, and Satan to become your footstool. You're going to have victory." And when the victory is this, is that the enemies of the mind will be transformed to the people of God. And verse 2 says this, "Your people shall be volunteers." Everyone say, "Your people shall be volunteers." Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a volunteer." Now, this word volunteer is depend where your setting is. You know, sometimes we serve the Lord and say, "I'm just a volunteer, you know." Meaning, I have compartmentalized my life. This is all I'm going to do in church. You know, the other day I was having a talk with Jeremy Ng, and he was telling me about his book assignment. He was reading this book about every Christian is in full-time ministry. Do you agree? Yeah. I was in full-time ministry. Some of us say, no, I'm not in the full-time ministry. Full-time ministry is for pastors and career missionaries or some other people, but not me. I'm sorry. When you are a believer, you are in a full-time ministry. Because if you don't believe you're a full-time ministry, that means I'm just volunteering my time in church. Only when I'm volunteering my time in church, I'm serving God. Then what does it mean? Who are you serving the rest of the other time? But we all know the Avoda life means we are serving God all the time because we are worshippers of the Father. Right? And so here it is. Your people shall be volunteers. But can I tell you guys, can we change our definition of volunteering? Yes, Pastor. Okay. Since you say nothing, I say for your behalf. Because too often we use so-called our culture definition. Volunteering means I'm giving a segment of my time to do certain kind of work. But the Bible definition for volunteers or volunteering comes from this word called nedaba, which means a free will offering. So you tell your neighbor, you are a free will offering. Some of you, no, I'm not free will. Yes. Free will offering in the Old Testament was, remember in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, there was stipulation of how you should give, how much you should give, tithing. If you give an ox, you give a calf, you're a poorer person, you give dove, you're much poorer, you give grains, grains or other kind of seeds, where you bring your offering to the Lord. So there was stipulation. But Moses also had a revelation. Beside all this stipulated offering of tithes and offering, there is such thing called a free will offering that is not regulated by the law. Amen? Of course, now we know it is by grace. And this is what we mean, an offering that is led by the Spirit. Sometimes we talk to each other as the Spirit leads you. Right? So when we give, we can give our tithes and give an offering. But sometimes God calls us to give as His Spirit gives us. Now, yesterday I was at a mission conference. I was sitting there having my lunch and I was sitting to an old lady. Now, I was sitting next to her. She didn't talk much. I was just enjoying my food. But the Lord said, talk to her. So I just said, oh, how are you? And she just didn't want to say much. She said, yeah, okay. He was also busy chewing her food. So after a while, the Lord said, ask her whether she wants a hot drink. So I say, do you want a hot drink? He say, yes, please. A cup of very weak tea. I say, well, a cup of weak tea, right? Okay, so I went and I went to the counter, say, a cup of weak tea, please. And this lady say, how am I supposed to do that? I say, half a cup of strong tea and pour some more water on top. That's a cup of weak tea. So I sat next to her. And the moment I give it to her, she starts thanking me and start opening up her life. Turned out she is one great missionary. And how she served the Lord. She tell me all her mighty exploits. I was so blessed. You see, this is what it means being led by the Spirit. I don't have to do it. But when I hear God leading me, when I do it, I'm going to get blessed. And here is the revelation for us. God said to Jesus, on that day on the cross, two things are going to happen. Your enemies, sin, death, and Satan will be defeated. It will be your footstool. But there are going to be people who is going to be like you. As you are, as a free will offering to me, your people will be a free will offering to me. They're going to serve me out of a willing spirit, out of a revelation. Amen. You know, in first light, we're always looking for volunteers. And one of the things that some of you are fantastic, you serve 2-3 ministries, like Dennis, you know, like Julia, they serve many ministries. You know, they like can split themselves, not multi-personality, but I really want to honor you guys. You guys are a fine example who really, you know, not just on Sunday as in the worship team or doing our PowerPoint, he's also a life group leader. Amen. But some of you are just sitting there, oh, okay. You know, in the old days in church, we used to sit on pews. Just in case you know what is a pew, it was a long bench. P-E-W-S, pews, right? And you remember my pastor used to say, don't sit there and catch pneumonia. Means don't sit there and do nothing. Get something done. And last week, this self was crying, do something, right? Then you'll say, do what? We don't want you here to do something, but we want you to be plugged into a ministry because I believe with all my heart together, we are leadership. All of you are called to something more than you are. And you may think, oh, you know, it's about a time issue. It's about something, commitment issue. Can I say to you guys, it's always going to be a time issue and commitment issue if you never change your definition of what it means to be a volunteer in Scripture, a free will offering. Let me explain to you. Your people shall be volunteers in the days of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the wombs of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. And this was a prophetic word of Jesus, that there's going to be a generation of volunteers who know who they are, and they see their life as a poured out offering to you. And this is what Paul says. My life is like a poured out drink offering towards his end, he told Timothy, because he saw his life as one whom God has filled him in with the power, the Spirit, and the presence of God, and now he's pouring everything that he has because God has given him all things in Christ. And he go further and say, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Of course, those of us who study Hebrew, we know in the New Covenant, Jesus is not a priest of the order of Aaron, but he's the order of Melchizedek. You and I, all of us, are under the order of Melchizedek. Aren't you great? We are in a good club. The order of Melchizedek. That means everything that we do is by the power of our great high priest who had represented us once and for all as a sin offering. But now he poured forth his Spirit on us that we can do mighty deeds. You may think, oh, I'm just doing communion trays, I'm just cleaning up a bit hospitality. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Don't think I'm just doing a little bit and that's it. God honors you. God sees when you are faithful in little, he's going to give you much. Let me explain to you. On the day of Pentecost, you know, Peter and the 119 of them all were so-called empowered by the Holy Spirit. And people thought they were drunk. And Peter then standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only third hour of the day. So Peter is saying, it's too early to get drunk this morning. But they behave like drunken people because the power of the Holy Spirit just came upon them. And remember, this was the first time they actually experienced the Holy Spirit in such a personal way. I think if you never experience something personally, it's something very exciting, isn't it? Something so different of you. It's just like doing a bungee jump. Some of you have never done it. You should try. I never done it, but I think you should try. Because it's accelerating. It's something that you never had it before, but you go through it, you know you're going to enjoy it. And so these people was full of the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, look, we are not drunk. But this is a fulfillment of what the prophet Joel told us. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit and on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And what happened? And on my men servants and my... And on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Do you not believe in Psalm 110? It is a revelation of Jesus' life. Where there's a revelation of Jesus, there's a revelation of who you are. You agree? When Peter said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, you are Peter. On you, the little rock, I will build my big church. On the rock, the bigger rock. What is this about? Every time you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, you have a revelation of yourself. Psalm 110, let's go back. It's a family snapshot. You know, family, we all have family photos. Nowadays, we don't have albums. And nowadays, we have family albums. We see how we grew up from infant to teenhood to adulthood and our own wedding photos. Psalm 110 is our family snapshot. What God is doing through Jesus Christ, God is doing through you. Amen? You shall be a volunteer. You shall be a willing offering of God, led by His Spirit to do marvelous things, great things, in the days of His power. And so, fast forward, 1,000 years later, Peter said, the day of power has come. And this day of power is according to also the prophecy of Proverbs Joel. In fact, if you read through the whole entire New Testament, Psalm 110 appears many times. Especially the whole epistle of Hebrew. Psalm 110 is like the bedrock or it's always written into the gospel, written to all the epistles. Right? But here in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, he says what? I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. What is all flesh? All flesh. Flesh here means on all human. Are you human? Yes. God has poured out His Spirit if you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He said, you shall what? Do quite a few things. Everyone shall prophesy. Right? Sons and daughters means our children can prophesy. Our young people, our teenager shall see vision. Right? And our old people shall see vision. Eh? So, sorry, our old people shall dream dreams. Amen? I'm at the dream state now. 2 years ago, I was in the vision state. Right? 5 years earlier, I was in the prophecy state. We are growing from prophecy, right, to vision to dreams. Prophecy is ushering the things of God. Vision is able to see God is doing something for someone down the road. But dreams is future telling, possibilities, great things that's going to happen. And I've been sharing with our leaders that we want to have in first like a prophetic culture. And a prophetic culture can only come through a prayer culture. When we know the Father, we tell the Father what He has spoken to us. We say back to Him what He has said to us through His Word and His Spirit. But much more than this, He said, I will pour out My Spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Prophesy here means, it's not, as I say, our prayer must change from a shopping list to an intercession. When we pray what God has spoken to us, we are speaking prophecy. We are foretelling or forthtelling the things that God is going to do it. So say someone come to you, don't say, oh Lord, I just pray for this brother that he has a good day. But Lord, I'm not just praying this brother have a good day, but this brother will know you and really walk in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's what Paul did. Paul did not just tell the church, oh, I pray for you all to have a good Sunday worship. But Paul said, may you all have a revelation of Jesus Christ. That you may know your hope in Him. That you may able to have so filled with Jesus Christ that then you will realize God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. Sometimes when we pray, we wonder, is God going to hear my prayers? Or somehow you think your prayer go up to the ceiling and then somehow drop on the floor. It's because we don't know how much our Father loves us. When we know how much our Father loves us, we dare to pray anything under the sun. And no matter how glorious your thoughts may be, no matter how far you can think God through the Spirit has spoken to us, I can do more than you ask or think. Wow, you look serious. You want to say amen. God can do more than I ask or think. If I can think it, God said, done it, but better. You can ask it, God say, what you ask is good, but let me tell you something greater. Then when God show up, it's always marvelous. And then you look at two characters down in the books of Acts. They were looking for seven deacons, right? Because there were a management issue in the church. And so Peter said, look, we apostles, we need to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. Choose among you seven men. So they chose seven of them. And Acts chapter 6, verse 5 say, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and the rest. I want to highlight to you, Philip and Stephen, they were deacons. And the work of deacons was to serve tables to all the widows. It was a management problem, but they were first started as managers of the church. But they did not stay as managers. Because later it says, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing wonders and signs among the people. So when Stephen and Philip was chosen, all they need to do is to take care of the three meals of the widows. I can imagine here is Stephen as he was cleaning the table. He started talking to all the widows. He started talking about their struggles of loneliness, the struggle of life, whatever it is, children's problem, I do not know. But the more he talked and ministered to them, all these widows begin to receive healing. Can you imagine that? Because Stephen was made more than just a manager. The hands of God was upon him. And he said he was full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs among the people. So what I'm saying to you guys is, you may think I'm just doing something in church. And sometimes this thing in church can be, takes a lot of commitment. I do not deny that. Just like setting up every Sunday, you may not know it while you are still sleeping. Nathan Kong and the rest, Chandra, forever faithful. Okay, after the Holy Spirit, he's the next faithful person. He show up every Sunday. Whether he's on duty or not on duty, he sure every Sunday to set up all this. Come on, let's honor them. Let's virtue. You know? No, once in a while, our laptop not working. By not working, we all stare at Dennis. No, don't stare at him. Stare at the laptop. Something wrong with the laptop, right? Sometimes, what's wrong, you know? Don't worry. Sometimes this thing doesn't work. It's okay. But the joy is that we have people in our midst who do it. Do you think Nathan Kong is just going to be a sound man? He's sound, right? But God is going to cause increase upon him, upon Chandra, Lloyd, or Dennis. I believe that's going to happen. Because when they show up every Sunday, God says, I see something in them. I see something, and I'm going to cause them to walk increase. And I can imagine the day will come, you know, where our sound guy do something with this confounded machine. What happens? Great wonders and signs will happen among our people. And then you look, Philip, same thing. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. See, Stephen and Philip started as managing situation in the church. But that was a starting point. That was not the ending point. Those of you who are serving in church today, this is just your starting point. Whatever we do here, is what I often say is housekeeping. Everyone has to do something. But God will position you to cause you to be a blessing to the city. Philip, so-called, was used by God to save a city. The Samaritans. Stephen was used by God to bring a lot of signs and healing among the people. How many of you want that for your life? Then can I say, can you humbly start saying that, I need to serve somewhere in church? If you don't know where to serve, don't worry. Come to me or go to Auntie Dot or some of our elders. We can point you the right direction. Right? But I believe it's not us just wanting you to fill the gap that we have. But if you can fill the gap that we have in this community, you can fill the gap in every part of the world. You know, in our own church, we have our own Stephen and our own Philip. I can tell you that Jeremy and Matt, these are our church, Stephen and Philip. Why I say that? You know, for the past few weeks, I've been talking to them. I'm blown to my mind some of the revelation they have. Bible school do them well, right? But much more, you can see they've grown so much. I can think about Jeremy, you know, when he was a young believer, how he grew, become part of our leadership as a life group leader. Later, he became one of deacons, holding the role of treasurer. And now he goes to Bible school, preparing to be a pastor, serving in our church for 2 days in a life group ministry. Can you not see he's growing? But God is not done with him. I believe he's like Stephen. He will do great signs and wonders in the days to come, that whoever he lays hand on, people receive healing. I see Matt like Philip. God is sending him an ant to save the nation of Thailand. Amen. God has already saved it. Like, he just asked, you know, mop it up. God has done it, but go and mop it up. You know, and this is what God is doing. And they started humbly. I can remember, you know, Matt, when I first saw him, never combed his hair. At least now he got side parting. His hair was longer than his face, I could tell you then. I hardly recognize him every Sunday, right? But now I can see him full of glory. But what I'm saying to you guys is this. When you start stepping to where God wants with you, don't just think I'm just a volunteer in the earthly way. Say, I am a volunteer, a free will offering of the Father. And as the Spirit leads, I will follow. And when you pursue where He's leading you, God will cause you to have that increase. Amen. And God doesn't stop with just the Jeremy or the mess of our church. God has all of you guys. Amen. All you are volunteers. All you are free will offering of the Father and to the Father. Are you not excited? I am excited for all of you, because I can imagine, really, I have many, as I said, I am at a dream stage now. I'm old man already. By a dream stage of, I seeing many of you going to the community, to the nation. I have write down your names, but I won't tell you who is who. I don't give you the pressure. But it gives me a lot of pleasure to pray for you, to intercede for you. Say, Lord, you show me this is what's going to happen to this chap. You're going to show me what's going to happen to this particular lady. Lord, I'm interceding. I'm praying for them. Because, Lord, your word will not come back to you empty. And so it really bring a lot of excitement, but sometimes somebody can tell me, you know, the Lord is doing this through my life. I say, hallelujah. Actually, I say, I pray for that, you know. But I don't take credit. But part of your success is also my credit. Now I'm going to say something to that. Now, but when we boast in the Lord. Amen. Now, but it's important to tell you guys is this, is that, you know, why is this happening? Because remember Psalm 110 is not just for Jesus, but for us, for all of us, because that is a family snapshot. And Jesus got a revelation because he told his disciples in John chapter 14, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than this will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. Jesus understood on the day of his power, his people will be volunteers. On the day of his breakthrough, or will be breakthrough of all of us who believe in Jesus' name. And Jesus told his disciples after 3 years, you guys have been following me. You are doing what I'm going to do. What was Jesus doing? He preached the gospel and go about doing good everywhere. Amen. Don't you want to do that in your whole life? Preaching the gospel and doing good wherever, everywhere that you go? But then Jesus said, but then, much more, you will do greater works. Greater works here, in Greek, greater means you have greater influence. You have greater extension of my grace. Because when you look at Jesus' life, his ministry was all concentrated within a 30 or 60 kilometer radius. Right? That's all he did, his ministry, within Judea itself. But the disciple, Jesus told the disciple, you shall go to the nation. You shall make disciples of the nation. And are you glad after 2,000 years, we are still in the business of going to the nation? Hallelujah. We have greater influence today than before. Do you know that every half an hour, 3,000 souls is added to the kingdom of God every day? One whole day is about 100,000 souls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the power of God. Because of the power of God. If only you and I will take God's word, and we should take God's word seriously with our life. That's why I've been telling you guys, you need to go know your life verse, know your verse of the season, study a book. Because he says here, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. This is called intercession. Because Lord, you told me to do this. Now I'm doing this in your name. And the Lord said, if you know, if you tell me you are doing what I tell you to do, he said what? I will do it through you, and my Father and our Father will be glorified. Every time you are doing something, you just have to tell Lord Jesus, Lord, you tell me to do this, I'm doing it. Just like yesterday, I gave the lady a cup of weak tea. But I was blessed through my songs, by hearing her testimony. Imagine every day we hear what the Lord is saying to us. Something happens. Who wrote this? John. Right? John wrote this, right? John got this revelation. He wrote this. He said, Jesus said to us, whoever, now who is whoever? Whoever. It means you and I, whoever. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will do this work. Doing good works everywhere we go, doing signs and wonders, preaching the gospel. But we will have greater influence. And God is causing you all to sit in places of influence. In the business world, in education, in everything, in schools, or all kinds of influence. That you can impact people's life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe where God is placing you, where you should be, when you call upon Him, He will empower you to do all this stuff. And I think John took it very seriously. Because fast forward 40 years later, this is what he wrote in 1 John. Now, this is the confidence. Everyone say confidence. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. How many of you think this is very difficult? No, it's not difficult. It's very restful. Paul, see, John tried this for past 40, 50 years of his life after that first revelation. See, it's true, man. Now I have confidence. I am confident that God will hear us if we ask Him according to His will. See, sometimes I hear Bible teachers will tell us, oh, it's hard to know the will of God. Rubbish. It's easy to know the will of God. Often to you guys, it's easy to hear God. It's hard to obey. Agree? Look at, I'm glad we're in good company. From the Old to the New Testament, every time God asks someone, do this, cannot lah. Difficult. I'm not cut up for it. Right? Gideon, I'm least of all my tribe. Mary, I'm not married. I'm virgin. How to have baby? You know, that kind of thing. And God has to work with the identity, work on them on the identity, because God knows you can do it, but the problem is your identity or your lack of identity get into the way. How do I know it's God's will? People, when you are full of the word, you'll be full of his will. Because remember, intercession is saying back to God what he has first spoken to you. If you can find in the scripture, you can tell God, God, you say this in your word. And this is your will. And whatever I ask, I have this confidence that you will give me according to your will. Because my will, right now, I have become a free will offering to you. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I live by faith. When we have this intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, he will always give us sweet desires to do things. Have you ever have experienced, some of you may have, like, you know, you talk to someone and the Lord say, can you bless this person with some money? How many of you have this experience? Right? How many of you actually did that? Very good, same person. Some of us, sometimes this happened to me. The Lord say, bless this person with $50. I know it is God. But next thing is, no, I don't think so, it's God. Anything that is out of character, of your character, must be God. It's the second question that comes, are you sure that's you? And this happened to many of us, where God asks us to bless someone, we know it's out of our character, because most of the time, we don't think of want to be a blessing to someone, but when God says, bless someone, when you had this question of, are you sure? You have a problem. But over the years, I learned, the Lord said, bless someone. I said, how much? Right? And the Lord said, bless a person, $50. But over the years, I said, Lord, how much? $50. I asked the Lord, $50, is it enough, Lord? Should I give some more? And God said, as the Spirit leads. Aren't you filled with joy? And it happened to me one day, the Lord said, go and bless this person. And I was far away from the ATM machine. I said, Lord, I need to bless this person. He said, how much should I give? He said, Lord, said, give $50. I said, where am I going to get $50 right now? And as I was walking, I found $50 on the floor. Hi, thank you, Lord. I was looking for the other $50, but that's all I had now, $50. This is what it means of able to work with what God has provided. If you are full of his word, you'll be full of his will. That's why I say prayer no longer become a better ground. That God, I'm using my faith to get God to answer me. But God make prayer so easy. Because John said, this is the confidence. Confidence here is you come to a place where you are fully persuaded. You don't need faith to get to God. You are fully persuaded God is going to do it. Amen. Don't you want your prayer to be at that point of fully persuaded? That you don't need to tell God to do something. You are so fully persuaded. Just like you know him so well as a friend, as a father, that you know it is within his character to do this for you. Because sometimes I know someone, I don't know someone very well. I just say I do not know Dennis very well. To ask him to do something for me, I say, I'm not sure. Ask him, is it inconvenient him? Or is he going to do this because he has no choice because I'm pastor, right? I poor rank, you know? Or Dennis, you know, if he's going to do this, he's going to steal his family time. And now he may and Julia have these quarrels because of that. Because I don't know him very well. But if we have a dynamic friendship, I can call him at 2 a.m. in the morning. Dennis, say, yes, pastor. He stands on attention. Yes, pastor, what can I do for you? Because there is that confidence of relationship. And this is what the Father wants of us, to have a confidence in that relationship. That we are so fully persuaded that praying is like gliding across the ice skating rink. I never done that before, but I look at it, it looks quite easy, right? Just glide on the ice. But you know what I'm saying, people? That this is what the Lord so desires. That whatever you ask, I want to answer it. That's why I say to you, sometimes don't come to God and tell God what to do. Ask God, Lord, how do you want me to pray over this situation? not trying to pray about that situation, but Lord, give me a revelation how I should pray about this situation. And when God gives you that revelation, then what happens? Intercession is your confession of faith. The word confession, too often we always think about confession of sin, but you go back to the Greek word, confession means homologio, means saying the same word, saying the same thing. You are saying back to God what he has spoken to you, that is called confession. If you see the word of God, you confess the word of God, that is homologio, that is confession. You are saying back to God. And when you pray in the intercession, you are confessing your faith. Father, this is your character. Father, this is you. Father, you said you were going to do this. I hold on to your word because, Lord, I'm fully persuaded. I had this confidence you are going to come true for me. Because you told me to pray this prayer. You showed me this scripture verse. I'm going to hold on to this scripture verse and I'm going to pray prophetically. And this brings my point last week. Prayer, birth, prophecy. The more you pray, the more prophetic you're going to become. You don't become more pathetic, but you become more prophetic. How did this happen? Let me show you. Paul and Timothy. Paul understood this. He wrote to Timothy. Now, Timothy followed him. He was a son of faith. And Timothy is preparing to become a pastor of the church of Ephesus. Paul loves him very much. Paul gives him pastoral instruction, how to be a good pastor. He got two volumes, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, right? He told Timothy, this is what you need to do to be a pastor. He said, Timothy, my child, I'm giving you, by the time Timothy is about 40 years old, but still a child to Paul. Timothy, my child, I'm giving you a command that agrees with the prophecies that were given about you in the past. I tell you this so that you can follow them and fight the good fight. Continue to have faith and do what you know is right. Some people have rejected this and their faith has been shipwrecked. What Paul is saying is this, Timothy, when you became a believer, not I just prophesied over you, but there were other leaders of the church, the other elders, other prophets also lay hands and prophesied over you. Now, as you're going to pursue that prophetic word over you, he says, follow them and fight the good fight. He says, I'm giving you a command that agree with the prophecy, that you'll fight the good fight. What Paul is saying, use all the prophetic word that was given to you to fight the good fight of faith. That's another translation. Now, fight the good fight is a metaphor. It's an idiom, which means you're going to have victory. So every time you look at the word called fight the good fight, it's not you going to battleground, okay? You get what I mean? Rather than you fight the good fight because the fight has been won for you. Now you are enforcing the victory of Jesus Christ in every situation. That means if you hold on to the prophetic word in your life, you tell God, this is what you say to me, you're going to come and bring it to pass. That is what I call the fight or good fight of faith. You are sure to win. How many of you have received prophetic word? How many are still waiting for it to be fulfilled? Then I only can tell you what Paul told Timothy. Fight the good fight. He says what? Sorry, I jumped too high. No wonder you're not looking at me. Eh? He says what? Now we are stuck. Now I'm fighting the good fight with the laptop. One more. He says what? I tell you this so that you can follow them and fight the good fight. Continue to have faith and do what you know is right. Some people have rejected this and their faith have been shipwrecked. Now, the faith has been shipwrecked doesn't mean you lose your salvation. You know where a ship is shipwrecked? Means it's going nowhere, right? It's stuck. It has sunk. Or he hit some coral, or some rift. It's not going anywhere. Sometimes our faith is not going anywhere, or we feel stuck in our faith. It's because somehow we have forgotten what God has said to us long time before. When God asks you to study a word or study a scripture, or God asks you to sit on a particular passage of scripture, or God tells you to meditate on his word, he knows what is coming ahead. He knows the storm is coming. He knows the wind and waves are coming. That's why Jesus said, whoever hear my word and do them, he's like the man who built his house on the rock. If we receive the good word, if our heart is the right place, it will multiply 30, 60, and 100-fold. Many times we don't see the 30, 60, 100-folds. Many times we feel that we are like the man who built his house on the sand. When the storm comes, when the wind and waves blew on us, fall on us, we just tumble. Because we have forgotten long before that situation comes, God has given us a season that we should sit and rest upon that particular revelation. Come on, people, I'm telling the truth here. How many times God says, switch off the TV, go and study my word. One more episode, Lord. Why care about the games of thrones when you do not know what throne you're sitting on? Don't go anywhere else. Come on, people. What I'm saying to you guys is this. I'm not saying you're going to watch TV. I love watching TV. But there are times that Father just say, switch it off, sit and wait and hear. And can I tell you, I'm richly rewarded because I obeyed. I think God is saying to all of us, not just for me, but to all of us here, storms will come. Wind will blow. The rain will fall on us. Life just happened. But God wants to see your victory. Amen. God always sees your victory before you see your struggle. I'm telling you. God knows what's going to happen. He said, now is the time. I want you to plant yourself, to be grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ. And then you can bear fruits through him. And I like the other version, the passion version. Timothy, my son, I'm entrusting you with this responsibility in keeping with the very first prophecies that were spoken over your life. And now, in the process of fulfillment in this great work of ministry, in keeping with the prophecies spoken over you, with this encouragement, use your prophecies as weapons as you wage spiritual warfare by faith and a clean conscience. Too often when we receive prophecy, we just say, okay, if it's Lord, okay, Sarah, whatever we will be, we do nothing. But Paul actually said to Timothy, when you receive a prophecy, use it as a weapon of mass destruction. Use it to wage against warfare, because sin will come and attack you. The devil will come and attack you. Fear will come and attack you. But if you know my prophetic word for your season, you will overcome. You are going to win because, he says, you are doing it with a clear mindset that God is going to see me through. How many of you want to see victorious days every day of your life? Then hold on to the prophetic word. Now, when I say prophetic word, I'm not saying that someone just say a word over you. You have 66 books of the Bible. It's all prophetic word. It's our family snapshot. If you will sit on the word of God, grow in it, be rooted in it, by his spirit leading you, you're going to see great days. I remember Peter Kumar. You know, some of you may know Peter Kumar. Interesting man of God. He told me years ago, all he wanted to do was to be a successful businessman. He was far from God. Even though he may have many wonderful experiences of God, he was far from God. And so one day Peter Kumar went to a church meeting and an elderly lady, 80 years old, lady who was known as the prophetess of the town, came and prayed over him and said to him, God was going to use you. God is going to use you mightily. And he was thinking, oh, God is going to use me as a businessman. He said, no, God is asking you to be his preacher, to go all over the world. You shall go all the different nations of the world and preach the gospel. He said, you got to be kidding. I don't want to go all over the world. I want to be a successful businessman. So he so-called poo-pooed the old lady's prophetic word. On his way home, he was riding on his scooter. The monsoon rain came. He said that, well, before the real rain comes, I still can make it all the way to home. So he sped all the way down the road. He was speeding down the road. A cow came along his path. He said, I can make it. I can make it. I can make it. He didn't make it. His scooter hit the cow. He flew, tumbled across the road, cracked his helmet, abrasion, bruises. He went home walking, limping, in pain, you know, bleeding everywhere. When his wife saw him, the wife said, "What happened to you, Ayoyo?" He said, "You know," say, "Oh, I was coming home. My scooter hit a cow. I flew and injured." Say, "You could have died. You stupid man, you could have died." And Peter Kuma say, "I cannot die. Because the prophet says, I shall go to the nation." And he was honest. At the time, he didn't believe it. But she knew that woman have some relationship with God. And so in his unbelief, he believed. You get what I'm saying? There's a paradox here. In his unbelief, he believed. And so Paul told Timothy now, the prophetic word that I said to you is now coming to pass. You fulfill this part, he says, other prophetic word will also come along. Right? Never mind. Basically, I'm saying to you, you are a word of God make flesh. Before you were born, you have been chosen to be holy. The word holy in the Bible means to be set apart by God. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Lord already knows you. Because he's written eternity in your heart, and somehow from eternity to eternity, you are here on earth to fulfill what God has called you to fulfill. In the second letter to Timothy, and last slide please, Dennis, if you can. Paul told Timothy, second letter, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." Laying on of my hands. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." When there's no more fear, what do you have left? Power. Love and sound mind. Sometimes we say, "Lord, give me more power. Lord, give me more love. God, give me more sound mind." The Lord say, "Just let me deal with the fear in you. When I deal with the fear in you, you have all the sound mind that you need. You have all the power you need. You have all the love that you need." Don't you think it's great? Sometimes we pray amiss. We ask God, "Give me more of your power. Give me more of your love. Give me more of your sound mind." God say, "Just let me get rid of the spirit of fear." How do you get rid of the spirit of fear? Paul told Timothy, "Stir up what I have deposited in you. Stir up the things. Kindle it again." The word in Greek means kindle and rekindle. Kindle and rekindle the gift of God. Because when there was the laying on of hands, words was prophesied over Timothy that God is going to give you this gift. God is going to give you that gift. God is going to purpose you to do great things for him. And all you need to do is always rekindle and kindle, telling the Father, "God, you say this. God, you promise this. God, you have revealed this to me. Let it be manifested right now in my life." When you are broken and shaken and sometimes you are discouraged, what you need to do? Go back and kindle and rekindle. Go back and kindle and rekindle. Go back and kindle and rekindle the very things of God. They no longer have a spirit of fear. But what you have left is power, love, and sound mind. You know, when I was on my long service leave in closing, you know, I went to about 12 churches during my long service leave. And someday I was super religious. I went to 3 churches. Right? I went to 2 morning service and 1 evening service. I went to spy the land. No. I just don't know what other churches are doing. So I go to church, to any church. I never introduce myself as Pastor Richard. I dress incognito. You'd be surprised. I wore T-shirt to church, and jeans, blue jeans, torn blue jeans to church, and track shoe. Oh, I know, not as glorious as this picture, right? So I just sit there. On 2 specific occasions, someone will come to me. The Lord tells me, "You are a pastor." How you know? I should try to be like you, Matt. Leave my hair shaggy, maybe. Don't comb my hair, go straight parting. Say, "The Lord tell me you are a pastor and the Lord has a word for you." Oh. Another church I went, right? Incognito. Didn't tell anyone who I am. And the pastor was preaching and the pastor of the servant say, "The Lord tells me you're a pastor." "How you know?" "The Lord has a word for you." And he start telling me the word. Joanne and I went to another church. Also, we do, and thank God there was a guest speaker. So definitely guest speaker do not know who we are. And after sermon, the guest speaker came and said, "The Lord has a word for both of you." Oh. What do we do with this word? Stay tuned. Come next week, I'll tell you. Right? But I'm just telling you guys, some of you have words spoken over your life. Somehow you have forgotten it. God has not. It's time to take out your diary, blow the dust off, and open up and read it again. Some of you have saved it, your recording, hear it again. Some of you say, "But I never received any prophetic word." Don't worry, you have the whole Bible. The whole Bible is a prophetic word to you. But once in a while, there are people who speak utterance to you. Hold on to it. A few weeks ago, I told you guys, one of my visions is, by year of end of this year, I wish I'll pray for all of you and prophesy over all of you. If I can't make it, go to one of our elders, go to one of our life leaders, go to some people in church. Everyone here can prophesy. Hallelujah! They don't need pastor to give you an extra touch. Because everyone here can prophesy. It's whether we want to rise up to be the people that's a volunteer to the day of God's power. Let's all rise in Jesus' name.